our back channel mission was to negotiate with the Syrian government to allow U.S. access to Syrian airspace and access to Syrian resources, airstrips, fuel, etc. You know, Israel has been using its influence within the U.S. government to alienate and to not have friendly relationships with Syria. These are all good people, very, very concerned, scared to death that the U.S. is going to turn Syria into another Iraq, because they see the devastation that we wrought upon that country. What people don't realize is that what's going on is organized crime at a very, very broad and sophisticated level. They're trying to undercut the strength of America, which is the family unit and the middle class. And why Hillary is talking about running again in 2020 is she wants to keep the lid on this cover-up, because if the lid comes off the 9/11 cover-up, there's going to be a lot of people hanging by the neck for treason.
Did you know that gluten is the one protein that humans cannot digest? And it's everywhere. Almost all restaurant foods, salad dressings, and so much more have gluten. To make matters worse, gluten is known to be one of the worst culprits for creating inflammation in the body. Chronic sustained inflammation causes joint pain, headaches, skin issues, digestive problems, weight gain, brain fog, and lowered immunity. The good news is there is an enzyme complex which specifically breaks down gluten. DDP4. Learn how to use this enzyme to eat the food that you want, protect yourself against inflammation, and become a healthier you. Click the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. We are in for a treat today. We have Mike Harris joining us. He is the financial editor of Veterans Today. He also ran for governor of Arizona against McCain, which was a horrible experience for him, and he learned a lot, but they really tried to smear his reputation there. And he also was the chairman of finance for the Republican Party back in the day, and he learned a lot from that. It was before he realized what a lot of these characters were up to. And so he shares with us a lot of inside information, a lot of information of what's really going on with this international criminal cabal, that mobsters that we're trying to take down, and what all it means. He's been writing for a long time. He's been doing his own blogs. He's the real deal. He knows a lot of the heroes in our country and how we really need to take down some of these criminal networks just for the sake of our survival as a healthy community. It's really come to that point. And he sticks around for my patrons. He's going to talk about Lee Wanta. Lee Wanta is an American hero. He's an amazing person. He was the one that President Reagan brought on board to dismantle and take down the Soviet Union during the 80s. And he tells me he knows him personally. He's a friend of his. And he, for our patrons, he gives a story about him, and it's some personal story. He's going to help me try to bring him on. I really want Lee Wanta on this program. And so I'm excited about that. And before we get into that interview with Mike Harris, I want to remind you about the Home Medical Summit that is going on right now. They're going to have encore. You're going to be able to hear all the speakers speak, so it's not too late to go and listen to that. It's so important to be able to take care of medical issues in your own home. If something happened in our country, or if you're out somewhere that you can't get to a hospital, it'd be great to be able to have that in your own home. Not to mention that you don't want to rely on big pharma for things that you can take care of in a much healthier way in your own home. So the link for that will be below, but let's get into my interview with Mike Harris. Mike, thank you so much for joining the program.
Well, Sarah, thank you for inviting me. I was delighted and surprised when I got your invitation, because I've been a fan of yours for a very, very long time.
Well, thank you. You know, you came very highly recommended, so that's why I reached out to you. I was really happy that you agreed to do this. I wanted to talk about geopolitical stuff to start off with, like what's really going on in Syria and Russia and Saudi Arabia and that whole BS propaganda that's going on. Can we start with Russia first?
Well, actually, let's start with Syria, because that'll lay the ground for what Russia is going to, what the conversation will evolve into.
Well, can I ask you quick, is Syria kind of the basis for what's all going on right now in that part of the geopolitical? I know China's a big deal because of the power rising, but as far as Russia and Saudi Arabia and Israel, is Syria kind of the home?
Well, it's where the action is today. But if you remember, General Wesley Clark said back in, 2004, 2006, there were seven countries the U.S. wanted to take down in 5 years. They've taken down, Iraq. They've taken down Libya. Syria was the next stumbling block, then Lebanon, so on and so forth. But Syria is where they have stubbed their toe.
Yeah, they're now, off of their five-year plan.
they're 15 years behind. But I've made a couple trips to Syria. I've been there two or three times. I was a guest of the Syrian Minister of Justice. I was initially invited to speak at the Syrian-sponsored International Conference to Combat Terrorism and Religious Extremism. I went there with a group from Veterans Today, Gordon Duff, Jim Dean, and Jim Hankey, and myself. And what our mission was, we had an official function to go to the event, which we did. And Gordon and I presented some very good material to the people over there who had not heard this before. And our back channel mission was to negotiate with the Syrian government to allow U.S. access to Syrian airspace and access to Syrian resources, airstrips, fuel, etc., in the event that any of our active duty military were held captive by ISIS in Iraq and taken across the border. The U.S. had, we gained them permission to ingress, egress without interference from the Syrian government. So that was a big plus. That was the back channel that we established at that time.
Now, who were you working with from a government perspective to get that accomplished?
I have no idea. That was between Gordon and Jim Hankey. It's above my pay grade. But
were compartmentalizing, go in there and get this done, but you didn't know in the U.S. government who was directing you. Interesting. Okay.
Nobody wanted to get their fingerprints on this one, because the official narrative, there is a huge push against the Assad government, and this is nothing new. Israel has been using its influence within the U.S. government to alienate and to not have friendly relationships with Syria. Assad's father was killed. His brother was murdered. People don't understand about Bashar al-Assad, the president, the current president of Syria, is that he never wanted to go into politics. He was living in London working as an ophthalmologist, as an MD. And his, Hippocratic oath, first do no harm. He's here to help people. He's not the brutal dictator that the propaganda machine puts out.
Yeah, I've heard that too from people who've talked to him.
He's a good guy. And the Syrian government people that I interface with, the Minister of Justice, their military high command, these are all good people, very, very concerned, scared to death that the U.S. is going to turn Syria into another Iraq, because they see the devastation that we wrought upon that country.
They don't care that the people, and you should give us some insight in this, but they don't care that the people that were fighting are good people.
They don't care a bit.
I know that was a dumb question, but
they're about the money. They're about the power. They're about controlling the real estate and the oil resources. And one of the things that I spoke about, I did over 22 radio and television interviews during my trips to Syria. I was on every channel. I was on every network.
What year was that?
Country. That was 2014 and 2015.
I was under
trips.
Obama.
Under Obama, yes. And what people don't realize is that what's going on is organized crime at a very, very broad and sophisticated level. Now, how is ISIS funding itself? Well, they were stealing things. They were stealing everything that wasn't nailed down from a material point of view, whether it was a machine shop or whether it was oil out of the ground. They were stealing it and reselling it. Now, when you look at the oil out of the ground and you look at the caravans of trucks that the Russians annihilated leaving Syria going into Turkey, you have to realize that oil doesn't move itself. It has to be put on a truck, has to go in a pipeline, has to go on a VLCC cargo carrier ship. Someone owns these assets. Someone is behind it. Someone knows that they're committing an illegal act and supporting terrorism.
My sources tell me that there's big money behind building up ISIS. big billionaires.
There is, but let me finish. I'll give this to you so you'll give you how broad this criminal conspiracy is. Because the refineries, ISIS was selling oil for about $20 a barrel because it's all profit for them. They didn't pay any extraction costs, nothing. So if you're the refinery and you're buying oil from $20 a barrel when the spot price is over $50 a barrel, you know you're taking stolen goods. You know that you're supporting terrorism, that the funds you're paying out to buy that oil, you know it. You're in on the conspiracy. You're part of the problem. By the same token, the bank that clears the transaction and clears it for the oil refinery to pay for the oil that's been stolen out of Syria, they also are in on the conspiracy. So you look at how big this is, how many continents, how many tens of thousands of people who are in this thing profiting off of this. It's huge. And then I go to Syria. I'm with the Syrian military high command. And they tell you, I live in Arizona, all right? I've been down to the Raytheon factory in Tucson, Arizona, where they manufacture the TOW missiles. I've seen them manufactured. So whenever I'm with the Syrian military and they say, look what we've captured, and there's Raytheon-made U.S. TOW missiles, how did ISIS get these? You know, these are the kind of questions that we have to ask. This is a restricted item. It's sold only to our military buys it, as well as certain allies buy it. So either someone is diverting them via our own military and our own State Department, or an ally is taking them and not purposing them for what they said they were, in which case they should lose their ability to access U.S. arms and munitions.
Do you want to save some serious money? Learn how a simple gadget can double your gas mileage while creating less pollution. The simple gadget does all of this while giving your car more power and longer engine life. Learn more with the link below.
Wasn't there a recently declassified CIA document that said that ISIS was being funded by the United States, or at least supplied by us knowingly?
Well, John McCain, senator from Arizona, made several trips over to Syria, entered the country illegally in order to promise support to the ISIS terrorist. And what we were talking about at the time was we're going to support the freedom fighters. Well, the freedom fighters
are moderate
and ISIS,
terrorists.
There's no such thing as a moderate terrorist. And the issue was that John McCain's over there offering aid and support to known terrorists. And they were trying to hide this under this canard of, oh, well, we're supporting the freedom fighters. They're here to topple the Assad regime. Well, they may have been there to do that, but they were wearing two different hats. They were wearing the freedom fighter hat by day, and they were wearing the terrorist hat at night. And so they're the same groups, the same people, all the arms, all the support that we gave them ended up in the terrorist hand, because like I said, they're the same people.
Were they getting paid by two people at the same time? So they were just double dipping?
Well, I don't know about that. I can't go onto that one, but the biggest point that I would like to make about terrorism is that if terrorism was really about toppling governments and change and making things better for the people, the targets would be different. It would be government officials. They'd be business executives. They'd be bankers. They wouldn't be regular schlubs. They wouldn't be, you know, butcher bakers and candlestick makers. They wouldn't be the working class. They would be the elites, if you will, whether it's in this country or any other country. If they're just targeting common folks, it's not terrorism. It's a Gladio-style operation. It's meant to shape public opinion and to topple governments. But it's not what they say it is. But, you know, everybody's worried about the jihadis in the field. The jihadis in the field are not the threat, because if you cut off their funding and they can't buy fuel, they can't get food, they can't get spare parts, they can't get arms and ammunition, they're out of business. 2 weeks, they're done. They're going home to mama. It's the guy who writes the check.
Yeah, because the people on the field, they're just doing it where it's a paycheck because they're so poor.
Yeah.
That's how you can get the people there.
So poor. And go ahead.
Does Assad know that this is a fight against a mob, against organized crime?
Yes.
And is it a worldwide fight of organized crime against good people in different countries.
Yes.
Has it raised up to that view?
Yes, it is. And that is what Gordon Duff gave the keynote presentation at this conference for terrorism that we went to in 2014. And that was the message. And once we got that message out, the 2,000 or so people in the room, in the auditorium, once they understood what they were fighting against, the entire tone changed. And it no longer
we can unite.
Confusing. We can unite.
We can unite across countries. We can unite across religions. We can unite across everything to take down a criminal cabal that's worldwide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I'm going to recommend a book. Anybody who wants to know what the genesis of this all is, there's a guy named Jeff Gates, who was chief of staff to Senator Russell Long. And Jeff wrote a book called Guilt by Association. And anybody who wants to understand the origins of this criminal cabal, that this organized crime that has infected the entire world, read that book, and it will open your eyes and give you a primer. And it's a great book to give to people who don't quite get it yet, because he is well documented, lots of footnotes, lots of references, and every word he says in there, he can support with other evidence out there. It's an excellent, excellent book. It'll cost you like $12.95 on Amazon, probably $3.95 used. But it's a book, and it will give you the baseline to understand what this criminal, what it is. It's a transnational, transgenerational criminal conspiracy. And it's really, it's an eye-opener for anyone who hasn't studied this. It's one of these kind of books that if you read it, you can't unread it. Once you learn this information, you can't forget it. And it'll change how you watch the news. it will give you the filter to watch the mainstream news and determine what's true and what's false. It will give you the tools of discernment once you read this book and understand it.
Yeah, well, it's hard when I actually cover a story and then I see the mainstream media purposely lying about that story. And that's just been happening right now. And it's unbelievable. And my question is, how much do the actual reporters know versus just reading off a screen? They're not really reporters anymore. They're just television personalities versus being fed a script to make sure the narrative doesn't get off track.
Well, the mainstream media, I want to point some things out to people, just points of reference. If you ever watch the Sunday morning news shows like Face the Nation, Meet the Press, Fox News Sunday, do you notice who the biggest advertisers are? I'll tell you, it's Big Pharma and it's the military-industrial complex. And the reason that they advertise is because the mainstream media is losing money. They don't have the following that they used to have. The internet's taken over. Alternative media is taking over, and they're trying to infiltrate and obscure that as well. But when Lockheed Martin or Boeing advertise on the Sunday morning news show, nobody watching is ever going to buy a Boeing product or ever going to buy anything from Lockheed Martin. I'm not going to go out and buy any F-15 soon. You know,
Grumman's it's not their way to advertise to get to their customer base.
It doesn't work.
Not their way to advertise. Yeah.
What they're doing is they're funding their news channel. They're funding their ability to support the narrative. Unless they can keep that news channel open, unless they keep Meet the Press on, unless they can keep Face the Nation on, they lose that access to the people. So they buy advertising. Big Pharma the same way. They want to keep access to your heart and mind via supporting the mainstream media. That's how they do it.
Well, now, how, you know, the alternative media is taking over and they're scrambling to figure out how to control the alternate media. You know, my channel is, I can tell the stories that are really impactful are very censored. It's very frustrating. You know, some of them they let go. And if it's more political and politically clean and it's just kind of the left-right paradigm and people are fighting over politics, they let those suckers go. They don't care. But if there's some sensitive information in there, I can have something that barely hits 3,000 views versus something that hits 200,000. And so I know it's being censored. How are they infiltrating besides censorship?
Well, what they're doing is creating alternate sites. They'll for every person like you, they'll fund two or three or four other people out there to go out and say the same thing with a limited hangout. They'll bend the story, 15 degrees out of perpendicular so that they can get their message out there. And then you're just one voice out of five voices who are covering the same story. And so they try to influence it that way. And then they have their old tricks. They've always been big on bribery. They've always been big on human compromise. They've always done those type of things in order to get the message the way they want it. And it's a sad state of affairs. So
do you think there's people in alternative media that are being bribed and are controlled in that way as well?
Yes, I would.
Do you guys know who they are?
Could I find out? Yes, I could. Do I have a list handy? No, I don't. But yeah, there are, I will guarantee you there's people out there who BS the public for a living.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they do.
BS the public. And they're paid to do it. They're paid to conduct the false narrative. Well, let me give you some of these examples. One of the things we know, 9/11 was a nuclear event. Okay. This talk about nanothermite, nonsense. Don't buy it. Anybody who's propagating the nanothermite story is dead wrong, or they're on the payroll of the bad guys. Okay.
Why though? Why would that help them?
Well, because they don't want the real story to come out. While you're out chasing the nanothermite tail, you're not going to discover or realize that 9/11 was a nuclear event. The veterans today, we've got extensive articles on this. What happened on 9/11 was only about two-thirds of what was supposed to happen. There were other things that were going to happen that were thwarted by the NYPD.
Are the NYPD...
Blowing up the Holland Tunnel.
Are the NYPD good guys at this point? Because there's a lot of stuff that they're doing, but how infiltrated are they? Because there's a rumor, and I don't think it's a rumor because I've heard it from too many different sources, but maybe it is, that there's a video of Hillary Clinton along with Uma Abedin doing some very disturbing acts with a young girl. And the NYPD has that in their possession. And I'm sure you've heard that as well.
Well, I've heard as well. This is stuff that they recouped off the Wiener laptop, and there's a lot of stuff there. NYPD has it. It's hard to tell who the good guys are and the bad guys are. I look at Rudy Giuliani. He was our 9/11 mayor. Everybody talks about what a great hero he was and stuff. I'm real sorry, but I think Rudy was in on the event. And I think a lot of guys were in on the event, and I think that they're going along and playing along, and they don't want to rock the boat because they don't want to hang in the public square someday whenever our government hopefully will decide to go after the real perpetrators of 9/11, because it was not 19 Arabs with box cutters.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious. Well,
the thing of it is, let me interject something else here before I'll give you your question. You have to realize 9/11 took years to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Years. It happened 9 months into the Bush presidency, so it was planned under Bill Clinton's watch. It was planned and given cover under Bill Clinton's watch. And so we're back to the Clintons again. And why Hillary is talking about running again in 2020 is she wants to keep the lid on this cover-up, because if the lid comes off the 9/11 cover-up, there's going to be a lot of people hanging by the neck for treason.
Well, it is broader than 9/11. 9/11 was such a treasonous event, but all these children that are being trafficked and, in Las Vegas, I mean, just there's so many events of the wars. Now, your sources, people are talking negatively against Trump and then positively against Trump. Do your sources say Trump is definitely fighting to take down this criminal cabal?
Well, I don't know what I don't know. And I support Trump. I like his message. I like the fact that we need to stop illegal immigration. I like the fact that Trump did not want to get into these foreign entanglements, these foreign wars. Trump wanted to do a legitimate investigation of 9/11. And I support that aspect of Donald Trump. Where I'm concerned about Donald Trump is that he owned a casino in Atlantic City. Okay. And so that puts him in bed with organized crime. If I tried to go buy a casino in Atlantic City, I could walk in there with duffel bags full of $100 bills and you still find my body in the dumpster an hour later because the gangsters that run Atlantic City aren't letting anybody in. That's their game. It's closed. You can't get in. So I've got mixed emotions about Donald Trump, and I don't like the people he surrounded himself. This Jared Kushner guy, his father did time for the Democrat Party doing dirty deeds for them, got caught, did some time. I don't like how he's put neocons into key strategic positions. It's obvious the Department of Justice and the FBI is completely compromised and needs a complete purge. The Department of State is completely compromised and needs a complete purge. Elements of the military are compromised and need a complete purge. However, other elements of the military have a higher calling and are good guys. So we've got white hats and black hats. And it's really tenuous times that we live in here now. And as long as Trump keeps meeting his campaign promises, I'm going to keep supporting him because I am a Trump supporter. I admit it. Because, like I said, I like the message. You know, I look at the treason that Bill Clinton did against the United States by letting China into the WTO, GATT, and the NAFTA agreements that decimated U.S. manufacturing business. And they got all these things through. They promised us that we're going to lose these low-wage manufacturing jobs, but we're going to gain these higher-wage knowledge jobs. Well, 20 years later, there's no knowledge jobs here. We're still short 35 million manufacturing jobs. And we got screwed because they lied to us. And we built China's economy, which should have taken them 100 years to accomplish. They did it in less than 30 because they had the inside track from insiders in the U.S. government who sold us out.
Well, and Clinton, anybody who's followed my channel or channels like me know that the Clintons are evil. I mean, I don't think
just saying they're dirty is not a strong enough word. These are evil people.
Well, I've had people tell me who've worked with them directly in Haiti and elsewhere on their charities and say that evil isn't a strong enough word for the Clintons. So they are the epitome of what we should be fighting against. Now, because I'm with you, I watch Trump and I'm like, okay, every step of the way, I look at actions, not words, because words are BS. Words mean nothing to me anymore because I know I watch the media and it's all propaganda and BS. You got to look at actions. And like you, I like what Trump is doing. Now, voting to keep Trump more powerful by, you know, getting him his base versus the opposite. Now, how disastrous would it be to bring in Democrats and then thwart his agenda? Because the other side is pretty bad.
I think it would be tragically disastrous is what I think, because, you know, I don't want to see this country overrun by illegal immigrants. Let's just take that issue here, because we've got that caravan, which has allegedly grown up to be 10,000 people now coming up here. But, you know, the whole illegal immigration issue. Now, I want to make a note here to people that they've been using the 11 million number for 25 years now. Okay. The number hasn't grown. In 25 years, they would say, oh, we have 11 million illegal immigrants in this country. No, the number is somewhere between 35 and 55 million illegal immigrants in this country. If you do the math, I live in a border state. I can drive 3 hours and be on the border right down here. And every night they've got hundreds, if not thousands of people coming across that border, and they may catch 2 or 3% and send them back, but the rest of them get in and they dig in. And they go all over the country, whether they're in Kansas or North Dakota or New York City, they're here. And it's time to weed them out and send them home. And it's just past due.
Well, and the people don't understand. It's not because I'm married to a Mexican, and
My first two wives were Hispanic.
Yeah, and my kids are, you know, and. But it's not that you're against illegal, you're against immigrants. It's not that you're against Hispanics, because I mean, I love my children. I love my husband. I love their family. It's the consequences of opening this up. Now, San Francisco is a good example. You know, I did a little documentary on how screwed up San Francisco is. They have the most money in the world coming in investment capital into that city. And they also have the worst slums in the world right now. It's a combo package. And, you know, so once I did that, I start getting all sorts of information of people living there and what's really going on. And, you know, they keep going over about, you know, it's a combination of factors. It's not all illegal immigrants, but a lot of it is illegal immigrants coming into that area along with their rules with drugs. They're handing out needles and doing different things like that. But it's a sanctuary city as well. So the drug dealers in that area are allowed to keep dealing drugs and nothing ever happens to them. The same drug dealer, and that's what people said to me, quote, I see the same drug dealer selling things on the corner that I see it weekly when I go to work, you know, so, mm-hmm. you know, they cannot get rid of them because it's a sanctuary city. So you don't get rid of criminals. That's why it's a problem. We all care. And I get tired of, I'm on my little rampage here, but I get tired of them saying they care more. That's not caring more. It's like having a spoiled brat and saying, I'll give them everything they want. And I love them more because I'm giving them everything I want. That's not caring more as a parent, you know?
No. It's letting your kid run amok and you're not accomplishing anything. And it brings in the whole concept of tough love. But let me point something out to you. Before 9/11, when the Taliban was in charge of Afghanistan, opium production was approximately 500 tons per year. Under the 17-year U.S. occupation, opium production has gone from 500 tons to 9,800 tons per year. It's grown exponentially. And now you look, we never had an opioid crisis before. Now we have an opioid crisis from coast to coast.
Well, yeah, so it's obvious. It's funded and supported.
What the CIA has done, do you remember Iran-Contra?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember that Ollie North was going to Colombia, getting cocaine, bringing it back to the U.S., selling it, turning some of it to crack cocaine, selling it to inner cities to raise money to fund black programs for the CIA so they could do their Iran-Contra deal and fund the Contras in the battle against Sandinistas in Nicaragua.
So what are they doing with this money?
Well, that's the question. The CIA is doing the same model. They're bringing the opium from Afghanistan where it's grown. U.S. troops are guarding it. U.S. contractors are guarding it. And the volume in this country, it's obscene. You know, we have an opioid crisis now where before 9/11, we did not. We had it contained. And the CIA is using the same drugs for black money model that they used before in order to promote their agenda globally. And that's what they're doing.
Anytime you see a symptom like that, I go back to trafficking as well. You know, the over 50% of the children in the child welfare system are being abused in the system, sexually abused. Anytime you see something like that, that a good leader can come in and significantly, not just good, one good leader, but a group of people could significantly reduce it. And it's not rocket science. That tells you there's a bigger operation going on.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. But, you know, the whole issue here is, my feeling is that the money from the opium sales in the U.S. is going to fund what we don't see going on within our own government within the U.S. I think we are the target this time. We are the target to be taken down. We're the government that they're going to collapse. They don't want us to be a republic. They don't want us to have a Second Amendment. They don't want us to have a First Amendment. And so I think that a lot of these groups out there, these far-leaning left-wing groups, I think that they are the beneficiaries of the opium traffic that's going on in this country and globally.
Is that why we're seeing such nut job bonkers behavior from the left? I mean, it's just crazy. It doesn't fit. It does not fit their narrative at all.
It does not. They have turned into what they claim the Nazi Party in Germany was. And in fact, well, let me give it one better. They've turned into the Bolsheviks that were in Russia. And you have to remember the Bolsheviks, who were 96% Jewish, according to Vladimir Putin, killed 100 million Christian Russians at the time. 100 million until the fall of communism is what they killed. Now, what they're looking to do is do the essentially a Bolshevik revolution against the American Republic here and do the same thing to us that they did to the Russian people. They would have no problem killing 100 million deplorable Christians out there in the U.S. Us deplorables, we don't deserve to be alive. And they would have no trouble killing us in order to seize power and to control the great wealth and resources of this country.
And they're using ourselves, funding by destroying our communities, destroying our children, trafficking our children, bringing drugs into the cities to fund, undercutting our government, destroying our government. And
that's what's going on.
Now, how are they going to take us out? You know, it's a scary time. I mean, we're essentially in a war.
There's a couple of things going on. One of them is, you know what the Cloward-Priven model is?
No, explain that one. Okay. I might, but I don't.
Cloward-Priven, they were, I believe, out of University of Chicago. And they wrote a thesis that says the way to take down a government is to overburden it so that it becomes ineffective and collapses from within.
Mm-hmm. That's what we did to Russia, or the Soviet Union.
Yeah, that's what we did to Russia, the Soviet Union. So what they're doing, they're bringing all these illegal immigrants in. They're all getting on welfare. They're all getting benefits. They're all getting things to where we can't function anymore. I'm in Arizona. Our schools are we're having an election coming up November 2nd. Every school out there is asking for extra money because they can't meet the burden, because they don't have enough tax base because of the imposition of the mandate to educate the children of these illegal immigrants that they bring up here, who contribute nothing to our system.
Yeah, it's but don't you think it's a three-pronged thing, or maybe even more than that? It's the immigrants who are really bogging down the system. It's the trauma put on children who are in these sexually abusive child welfare, and that's trauma that really screws up an environment. It's the drugs that they're bringing into the communities, mm-hmm. which another thing really screws up. It's throwing a lot of people in prison, which screws up the family.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many things that we're doing to screw up our families.
Well, they're trying to undercut the strength of America, which is the family unit and the middle class.